into 25. Hands up if you're a dad and you've got kids. Do you mind if I ask you to come up? Is that all right? So only a few of you. Come on. Kids between the age of 10 to 25. So I reckon these are experienced dads who are still in the thick of it. Is that right? Okay. They're not looking too keen, but it's all right. You can do it. Come on, guys. Up here. Up here. Well, keen too. Okay, now you don't all have to say something. Look, they don't want to join me up here. Come on. Come. Let's give them a clap. Like these, you know, these are the warriors. These are the ones who are still in the war, right in the war, but they've been doing it for long enough that there must be in this group a bit of wisdom. What do you think? Bit of wisdom in the group. So all I want is maybe three or four little gold nuggets. What's your... So these guys are totally unprepared, all right? They're thinking really fast here. They're hoping someone else is going to speak. But look, there's got to be... There's got to be. I'm going to stand down because you guys are the amazing ones. Aren't they gorgeous? Aren't they gorgeous? Who's got a nugget? Like, what's the one thing, if you had to say to a new dad, what's the one little bit of wisdom that you've picked up along the way?
Yeah, I think the most important thing in life, but particularly with your children, are your words. Words can be the most precious thing, and they can also be the most harming thing.
Yeah. I think just being a little kid again as a dad and having fun with the kids, I love doing that.
Being available, just being around and being accessible and... It's not hiding yourself away.
So I think enjoying time with them and giving them the time and having some fun.
Just being with them through good times and low times with them.
I think time has been mentioned multiple times, but it's very easy to spend a lot of time at work and get your satisfaction from there and not to spend as much time with the kids as you... When you look back, you think, maybe I should have spent more time with them. Yeah.
I'd simply say finding things in common and keeping the lines of communication open.
I think because my kids are actually in Brisbane, it's... having that relationship with them, and it's a long distance relationship, but keep on encouraging them that they're doing well, and just, you know, the relationship, it's a long term. When you got a kid that's only this high to your knee, they soon grow up, they soon need you, and keeping that line of communication alive, that's the most important thing for me.
Typical. Conscious to my three kids are in here. Often I'm in daddy role, but one of the things that under the surface for me is important is our kids, like everybody else, are made in the image of God. And when you walk with somebody who's in the image of God, you're walking on holy ground. So you don't know, even though that might never be apparent, kids, from the way I act, I'm thinking that.
Awesome. Now, stay up here, guys. That's great. Now, I think we do have some dads who are first-timers this year. So who's got the first child under a year old? There's a couple over here. Come on, guys. One down the back. Now, we'd just really love to pray for you guys. Would that be all right? So first-time dads, if they wouldn't mind coming up, and these old-time dads are going to pray for you. Would that be cool? Come on, give them a clap. First time dads. Awesome. So we're going to put you in the middle, first time dads. Woo, Alex. Whew. Okay, and I'd like you other guys to gather around, and I want a volunteer, a couple of one or two who might pray for these guys.
Okay, Father, We, first of all, just want to say it's a privilege to be a dad. And I pray that these three young dads will discover that real sense of privilege and of joy and of fulfillment in that role. That's a God-given role.
Yeah, Heavenly Father, I do pray for these three young guys. And Lord, time has been mentioned a lot, and it is just so precious, and time just goes so quickly. So Lord, bless them to treasure each day, and bless them and give them wisdom in their fathering, Lord, just to always love their children, to look maybe at the big picture when things aren't going so well, and just to always treasure those moments, good or bad, and just to really just give themselves, Lord, to their children and their families, and that they would be a blessing, Lord, through good times and bad times. And just be with these guys, Lord, and just help them and give them wisdom. In Jesus' name.
Alex, so one of these first-time dads is just going to share with us a little bit, and then I'll get the last word.
Or the redeeming word, depending how I go. So yeah, I'm a dad. My name's Alex. I'm 31 years old. I'm a father. So I guess today is me day, Father's Day, my day, my special day. So thank you for the round of applause which you are now giving me. Thank you. So yeah, this is my first official Father's Day with baby OOTW, or Out of the Womb. I'm sure you're familiar with that acronym, OOTWA. But I did actually get a hug and a kiss last year and a card, which was nice. But this year I get presents, so it's even better. I know I'm a dad for a few reasons. There's four reasons that I want to share with you that I know I'm a dad because of. Number one is the sudden influx of grey hair. I swear to you that it happened within a few weeks after Olivia was born. I started to notice more grey hair. The second is the unfortunate transformation of my sense of humour. I find myself saying or thinking dad jokes a lot more than is acceptable. And it's a little bit scary. And the even scarier thing is that I'm starting to believe that it's a higher form of wit, which is not good. not good. The third thing that lets me know that I'm a dad is that we laugh a whole lot more at home. Our babies, man, they do funny stuff all the time, and it's really good to laugh about it too, in an encouraging, building up kind of way. And of course I know I'm a dad because there is physical evidence in that thing. Olivia, my daughter, hello baby, who's really tired, so she's not going to perform. I love being a dad though, I really do. I love being a father. And it's probably easy for me to say that at this stage in life because she's almost 9 months, and people say babies are the easiest part and teenagers are not. So I'm really enjoying this stage of being like a baby daddy. I've learned a few nuggets of wisdom, I think. I think so. It might be nothing new to some of you, but to me, I think they're gold. So I'm going to share those with you today. And the first thing that I've learned from being a dad was actually before Olivia was even born, actually. She's that awesome. I remember going with Lisa to the doctors at about 11 weeks, and she'd been a few times, and this was my first time with her to the doctor. And so I went along and sat down, and Lisa was lying on the tabley bed thing, and he was checking her belly and stuff, I think. And then he got out this machine, and without any warning, the room was filled with this dun 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 heartbeat sound. And I was like, holy crap. Is that the baby's heartbeat? That's for real. That's actually inside her, a living thing. And it was going so fast, and we were both like caught by surprise and a little bit teary. And it was incredible. And at that moment, I was like, wow, this is the first time that anyone on earth is hearing the heart beating of the person. We didn't know if it was a boy or a girl at that stage, the person inside of Lisa. And I was just, I was floored with it. And I was reflecting on it, and I thought how no one, like, we had heard those heartbeats now, but she was already in existence, and no one had heard the very, very first time that her little heart pumped blood around her body. No one, except for God. And I realized that, and I was like, oh, God has been right there. He is literally the one that is knitting her together inside of Lisa. And it made me think that Olivia is only completely known by one being, and that's God. He knows her completely. He can hear her heart beating now. He heard her first heartbeat. He's counted all the tears that she has shed in her short time on the earth. And unless she knows him, she will never be completely known. So I feel a huge mantle of duty around this as her dad to help her discover who this God is, who knows her and who loves her so much more than I do. And that's the same for all of us. So it's exciting and a little bit scary. So that's the first point. So like I said, Olivia is our first child, and you know, she's 9 months this coming Friday. It's pretty cool, 9 month birthday. 3/4 of a cake, as my wife likes to say. And that, of course, means that I am approaching being a 9-month-old father, which is, you know, pretty special. I hope I get a 3/4 cake. I go to a dad's group and sort of got nominated or something to do this, and it's a bit weird because I'm the least experienced and, you know, have the least track time of being a dad, but here I am. And I've heard it said that when a child is born, a father is born. Does anyone agree with that? Yeah, I think it's quite true. Apparently, most mums are born when they're about 4 years old. But this is Father's Day, so we're going to focus on dads. And this truth about dads hit home with me the other day about, you know, just being a baby, really. And I was doing the house husband thing, giving Lisa a break, as I do all the time because I'm such a good husband. And hanging out some washing, domestic, with Olivia in the sling around me, really new age. And the baby, Olivia, she was slipping a bit. And I kind of shrugged her up to readjust her on my hip. And as I did that really awesome towel one hand baby shrug, her head connected with my chin in a spectacular fashion. And she was not impressed at all. And she was very clear on letting me know that. And as I was calming her down, I was saying things like, "Sorry, Poppet. Oh, silly daddy, silly daddy." And it made me think of a parent sort of chastising or telling off their child. But I was the child. Like, hearing my own voice saying those things made me feel like a kid. Calling myself silly made me feel like I needed direction, if you will. And I loved how Ruby got the experienced fathers up here this morning, because I thought it is so true that I really am a baby daddy. I'm only 9 months old, or approaching 9 months old. You know, I'm not a wise old, well, a wise father. I'm not a wise father. I'm not even an in-between wise father like the others, like Glenn, or, well, he's probably the only one who thinks he's wise. So I feel like I really need that direction and guidance from more experienced adult fathers, you know, not these baby daddies. So, you know, being a dad doesn't magically transform you into one of those wise old souls, mature, balanced human beings. You got to keep growing, and I think the church is the perfect place for me to be right now, because there are so many dads who have so much wisdom, and I just invite you to share that wisdom with all of us younger dads. You know, we're floundering sometimes, and it might look like we've got it all together. Dads don't talk about it. Being a dad, maybe they do, but not to me. I feel, though, typically they don't talk about it. So just having those conversations, even occasionally, about what it's like, how you're going, and waiting to listen for the answer, because they don't always come that quickly. Yeah, so hope that makes sense. So that's a bit of where I'm at, a bit of what my nine-month-old has taught me, and may we all continue to learn from the children that are in our lives.
Well, all I can say is Olivia is a real lucky girl because, you know, there's the heart of a father there, eh? And isn't it a beautiful thing when a child gets a father who has such a heart? Well, I'm not a dad and I'm never going to be a dad, but I'm just going to share a few thoughts. And the scripture I want to just read to you is from John 7:38. It's well known. Jesus stood and he shouted to the crowds. Shouted? I didn't notice that before. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. When I was thinking about this, saying something about Father's Day, there was just one word in my mind, and the word was passion. It made me think of a book that a guy called Gordon McLaughlin wrote 35 years ago, The Passionless People. Have you heard of it? He wrote it about Kiwis, and particularly about Kiwi men. And he considered them a passionless lot. He called them kind of the smiling dead. And he's actually done a revised version of this book, and he calls them now the passionless people, the grumpy dead. So things haven't got any better in his opinion. So apparently he would believe that Kiwi men in particular are passionless. So that's just kind of interesting. I don't know what you think about that. I was thinking about dads, and I was thinking about my own dad, and my own dad passed away probably some years ago. Can't remember how many years ago anyway. So I can say whatever I want about my dad. It's okay. But my dad wasn't a great dad, but he definitely had a couple of passions. It was rugby, and it was beer. He wasn't into the racing, but definitely the rugby, and definitely the beer. And I knew my dad was really passionate about those two things because that's how he spent his time, watching the rugby and drinking his beer. And the other thing about that was that, say the rugby was on. Now, rugby in those days before Sky, you didn't have to have Sky back then, and it was on the telly, I think, through the whole winter, like every Saturday afternoon. Is that right? Does anybody remember those days? Yeah, yeah. Rugby used to be on. They're smiling. Those were good days, they think. But I didn't like it because when the rugby was on, and we had those old tellies because, you know, I was around at the beginning of TV, and these old tellies, and they had the aerials, you know, the bunny ears? And the bunny ears didn't always pick up the signal that well. People remember those days? And so Dad would have these bunny ears and he'd be twisting them this way and twisting them that way and, you know, turning them upside down. And he would be getting really frustrated and angry because sometimes it was so fuzzy he couldn't see the ball. And so basically if the rugby was on, we had to be really quiet and Dad was not fun. But he was passionate, I knew, about that rugby. He never missed it. And the other thing was that Dad was passionate about his beer. And I remember when 6 o'clock closing finished and it went to 10 o'clock. And it was a sad day in my home because that meant Dad was not home for tea. If there was beer to be had, Dad was drinking it. On holidays, Dad was always drinking, sitting there with his half G's. And again, it was not a fun thing. Everybody had to be really quiet. Dad always started off really happy and then he'd get really angry. And Mum would get unhappy, and then he'd get angry with her, and, you know, I tell you the rest. So it wasn't great. Dad's two passions squashed us. But we knew what they were. We knew what Dad was passionate about. Because the thing about kids is that they look and they feel. I think sometimes we just forget how much kids feel. You've all been one. And if you think about how you felt as a kid, kids feel. I think so often we're appealing to kids' minds, and actually it's their feelings we've got a grasp hold of. But kids know what Dad is passionate about. This week, our little girl, our eldest little girl, turns 30. So we're way at the end of the spectrum. And our son turns 28. So Father's Day in our household has always been completely obliterated by two birthdays. Poor Dad. And our youngest is 24. This is the first Father's Day that I know Mick can say that all of his kids are followers of Jesus, which is pretty exciting. And I know that if I asked all our kids, I did send them all a text last night and said, you know, what was your dad passionate about? They know what the answer is. You've probably seen enough of him to know what the answer is. He's passionate about Jesus. He's passionate about the lost. He's passionate about the poor. He's passionate about giving everyone the opportunity to become all they're created to be in their God. Have you noticed that about him? Our kids know that. They know that their dad is passionate about Jesus. He's passionate about the lost. He's passionate about the poor. And he's passionate about giving everyone the opportunity to become all they've created to be. Our kids know it. And today, our kids are really different to each other. They're introverts, extroverts, tall, short. Some of them are professionals. Our eldest daughter is now the household supervisor for the women's home in a drug and alcohol rehab, because she has now graduated that rehab program. And now she's running the girls' home. And she loves Jesus. And all our kids are passionate about Jesus. They're passionate about the poor. They're passionate about the lost. And they're passionate about giving everyone the opportunity to become all they're created to be. Now, Mick can't tell you that it's anything to do with him, but I can. They know the passion of their father's heart. And our kids have wound their way through life, and they have come to that same place and those same passions. And that's what I feel that God would say to us today, is that as fathers, as parents, as people, kids are watching and they are feeling your passions. If you have none, if you are one of those passionless people and your heart has gone cold and dead, Jesus has given us a promise that in him, rivers of living water will flow from our hearts as we receive him and his spirit. It's a promise. It's available to absolutely everyone. You have the capacity to be an incredibly passionate person. Be passionate about the things that matter to your Heavenly Father. Let's just pray. Our Heavenly Father, you knew us first, like Alex was talking about. You saw us all in our mother's womb. You noticed us, you delighted us in us, you shaped us and you formed us, and you've seen us through our lives, Lord, and you've seen who we've become. You've seen the things that have shaped us in this world. Our God, it is our desire to be your people in this country, in this neighborhood, in our homes, with our children. And we would be people, Lord, whose hearts are fired up with a passion for you and a passion for the things that you are passionate about. Lord, come visit us today. Ignite our hearts. Fill us afresh with your Spirit. In your wonderful name. Amen.